The opinions expressed in this show are the views of the host and not necessarily that of WTRW, 94.3 The Talker, or the Bold Gold Media Group.
The following presentation is brought to you by the host of the program, who is solely responsible for its content.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Good morning, I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker of Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Welcome to the Real Estate Roundtable on 94.3 FM The Talker. I'm here with my co-host, fellow realtor, husband, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good today.
Great. And we also have Dan Taylor, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for coming.
No problem.
And on the line with us from Harrisburg is Chuck Lydike, campaign manager of Real Reform 76. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
We're doing great.
Yeah, fantastic.
We're happy you're with us. We're here every Saturday at 11 a.m., Sunday at 11:30 a.m. We talk real estate. We have a full-time real estate office with many experienced realtors. We have been listing, selling, and appraising real estate for over 40 years.
During the week, feel free to email us with any questions you have at questions@jruddy.com. That's questions@jruddy.com. Or you can give us a call at 570-344-6724.
View our listings or search the MLS listings by going to jruddy.com, J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, and jruddy.com's mobile friendly. Also, remember to like us on Facebook at Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Also, we have all our archive radio shows on jruddy.com, so any topic that interests you that you want to listen to any day or time, night, day, whenever, go to jruddy.com. Okay, once again, Chuck Lydike, campaign manager of Real Reform 76. Would you please give me a brief background on you and what Real Reform 76 is all about, please?
Certainly. Well, thanks again for having me on the radio show this morning. First off, my background a little bit. I've been with the Realtor Association here in Pennsylvania for about 7 or 8 years now. And one of the biggest things that we've been hearing statewide from realtors as well as their clients for the past several years is the need for real property tax reform. And the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors created a task force a few years back to study the issue a little bit further. And the interesting thing is, particularly during election years, you have many legislators that will entertain different proposals for property tax relief. Unfortunately, though, many of these bills simply don't do what they're intended to do. So this task force was designed to meet with several different legislators that really wanted to change the system, and we wanted to have a better understanding as to why their bills would be the perfect bill and the perfect solution for Pennsylvania property owners. So we met again with several legislators, and we found that one particular bill really had plenty going for it. At that time, it was House Bill 1776. However, we did an economic study of 1776, and we learned that the numbers simply weren't adding up. And what I mean by that is that when you would see an elimination of the property tax, we want to make sure that schools remain well-funded. Under 1776, the schools would not remain well-funded. So we testified to both the House Finance and the Senate Finance Committees, and we educated them on our economic synopsis of 1776. Now, this was about a year ago. Now, not too long thereafter, the authors of that legislation changed the numbers to create the newest version of the bill, and it's called Senate Bill 76. Now, 76, we did another economic impact study, and we learned that the numbers added up, and it would provide real property tax reform here in Pennsylvania. So we're very excited for it, and certainly excited to talk with the three of you this morning on this show about it further.
Yes, and that's why you're here, because it piqued my interest when I heard that this bill was being promoted and supported by Pennsylvania Association of Realtors, and I'm a member of PAR, Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. And I like the concept of eliminating the school property taxes. I own property, and that is a relief to me. How much support is there?
Well, right now, as I'm traveling Pennsylvania, and that's my primary objective currently during this grassroots movement, is traveling Pennsylvania. I've been to 31 counties here in Pennsylvania. You have 67 across the state, and you're seeing a groundswell of support from residents, from business owners, and from even school board members, legislators, what have you, across the state. Now, what's most exciting about this bill, and we haven't even gone into the details yet, but what's most exciting about this bill is that it is truly bipartisan. In the state Senate, you've got 50 state senators. 25 of them are co-sponsors. 13 of them are Republicans, and 12 of them are Democrats. So as you can see, it's a bipartisan bill, but even more so, there's 50% of the state Senate that co-sponsors this bill. Now, additionally, we've been told from other state senators who are not co-sponsors of this bill that they're looking to vote yes when it does come up on the Senate floor. We're expecting the vote on the Senate floor probably in the next month or so, and once it were to pass out of the state Senate, it would then have to go into the state House. Now, the state House is an interesting chamber in itself, primarily because there's 203 state representatives, and it is very difficult to get anything accomplished in the state House. But we do believe we have the momentum on our side, and the governor has indicated on several occasions that if the bill were to get to his desk, he would sign it.
Well, tax reform is not a new discussion to legislators. They've been discussing this for decades. But I can't help but think of one of the recent tax hikes that hit the gas tax. It was raised in minutes and seconds and moments, but when it comes to eliminating taxes, I mean, we just go on for years and years and years, and it's much harder to do, longer to try to eliminate something.
You're absolutely right. That's one of the biggest things that you're hearing more and more residents statewide indicate to their lawmakers. Why is it so easy for you to increase taxes via gas taxes for transportation, but it's so difficult for you as a lawmaker to reform the property tax system? So you're having more and more residents statewide that are indicating that this is a campaign issue for them. They are looking for their state lawmakers to put their foot down and indicate whether or not they support this bill. We truly do believe that more and more residents are going to be coming out to the polls in the primary and in the general election, and they're going to be voting for their particular candidate or incumbent who supports this bill.
There's a website that talks about this bill. It's realreform76.com. Do I have that correct?
That is correct. We put together this website for a variety of reasons. First and foremost, it gives people an opportunity to learn more about this piece of legislation. But additionally, what it offers people is the opportunity to contact their state senator. So all they would need to do is they can, if they don't know who their state senator is, they could find out via this website. And if they already do, they can simply click on the state senator's name and send them a personalized message. But what's most interesting about this website to me is the fact that people have an opportunity to share their story. We've had literally thousands of people statewide share their stories with us. And one of the most simplest things one might suspect is that this bill is going to benefit seniors. And although that is true, we're getting more and more younger potential home purchasers that are sharing their stories with us. They're telling us that their property tax payment is going to be more per month than their mortgage payment. And it's really putting them out of to be able to purchase in this market, and they're going to have to look elsewhere. So we do think that Senate Bill 76 is an opportunity for individuals of all ages and all incomes to be able to finally decide whether or not they want to go for the dream of home ownership.
Well, of course, you know, and that's why we're here to discuss it, because we certainly want to help people realize the American dream and purchase homes, because that's what we do. But let's look at where this money is going to come from. If it eliminates the school property tax, where will the school districts receive their funding?
What will happen is, if Senate Bill 76 were to be passed, the property taxes that are levied by schools would be eliminated. Now, that's less the existing debt. I'll talk about that in a moment, but to specifically address your question, to make up that lost revenue, there would be an increase in the state personal income tax as well as the state sales tax. Now, the state personal income tax would go from 3.07 to 4.34%. And if your listeners right now are jotting this down, I'll repeat it again. It's 3.07% to 4.34%. And the state sales tax in most parts of Pennsylvania, this excludes Philadelphia and Pittsburgh, would increase from 6% to 7%. In the, again, in Pittsburgh and Philadelphia, would also increase a percentage. But the state sales tax, when it increases from 6 to 7%, there would be an expansion of the sales tax. Now, what happens under this expansion is we want to make sure that individuals with lower income are not hurt. So food that is on the women, infant, and children list, the WIC list, would remain not taxed. So the healthy foods like bread, milk, water, meat, eggs, that kind of stuff would remain not taxed. But your bags of Funyuns or Doritos or what have you, that would be taxed under this bill. Now, additionally, there would be an expansion of services that do get taxed under this bill. And rather than me reciting some of that list, I do encourage individuals to check out our website.
RealReform76.com. What about clothes? That's a biggie for me. Is clothing going to get hit? Because, I mean, we attract a lot of residents from other states here locally to our outlets and our stores week after week, weekend after weekend, because we do not have a sales tax on clothing. So clothing's going to get hit?
Clothing will be hit. It will be at the $50 threshold, though. So any piece of clothing that's under $50 will remain not taxed. Now, I oftentimes get questions asked of me, if I were to purchase three $49 pairs of jeans, you would not pay any tax on them. It's each individual clothing. Now, if I were to purchase a jacket that was $51, you would not pay tax on the full $51. You would pay tax on $1. It starts at that $50 threshold.
Oh, good point.
So,
I'm glad I asked.
You know, it's something that people need to understand, and you're certainly right in that many people visit Pennsylvania because of the opportunity to purchase items at a cheaper rate than surrounding states. But we do believe that the market will also encourage and incentivize those same stores to offer clothing at a cheaper rate to ensure that they remain competitive.
Okay, Chuck, we're headed towards a break. Chuck Lydike, campaign manager of Real Reform 76, is with us from Harrisburg today on the line, and we're going to go to a short break. But before we do, Pat, would you like to review a listing, please?
Yes, we have a very nice brick ranch, a three-bedroom, two-bath home located at 823 Murray Street in Troop for only $149,000. This home is on a large 120 by 120 lot with a two-car garage. It has great room sizes, tile baths, and low Troop taxes, all in a quiet, desirable location. It also has a new roof that was installed in 2012. So if you're looking for a brick ranch with one-level living, give us a call about 823 Murray Street in Troop for only $149,000, and that is listed by Stephanie Silvestri of our office.
We have several buyers looking for properties, and you talked about a ranch, Pat, and they all happen to be looking for ranches. Ranches are popular all of a sudden.
Yes, they are.
Yes. John Crotty from our office has three different buyers looking for ranches, and they'll go anywhere from $130,000 up to $180,000. And he also has two investors who are looking for four-unit income properties or more. Four units plus. So if anybody has a property out there that meets that description, give us a call. We may have a buyer for you. Stay with the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on 94.3 FM The Talker. We'll be back after a very brief break. The real estate market is extremely active and you want to make a move, but you don't know where to start, who to call, or how to make it happen. I'm Jackie Ruddy, and I know Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate can lead the way. Our quality service award-winning team will help you with buying and selling a home. Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate has a proven track record and experience you can count on. Lean on us to show you the way. Call 570-344-6724. That's 570-344-6724. Or visit jruddy.com. That's J-R-U-D-D-Y.com, where homes are open every day, all day long. Also, remember to tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate, Saturdays at 11 a.m. and Sundays at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker. We're back with more Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate on 94.3 FM, The Talker. I'm Jackie Ruddy, broker, and with my husband, fellow realtor, co-host, Pat Devaney.
Good morning, Jackie. How are you today?
Doing fine. Yeah. How are you?
Good. We have an extra body here today.
We have Dan Taylor.
Indeed.
Yes, realtor with Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate.
Happy to be here.
Happy that you're with us. And our special guest from Harrisburg on the line with us is Chuck Leidike, campaign manager of Real Reform 76. Good morning.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're learning a lot about tax reform. And in the first half, we talked about a lot of what Real Reform 76 is about. It's looking at eliminating school property taxes, and then it would increase the sales tax from 6 to 7%. With expanding some items that are taxable, and then looking to increase the personal income tax from 3.07 to 4.34%. And that's going to hit people, the high earners. That's going to hit anybody that has, you know, pays income tax. And the people that make the most money are probably going to be the ones mostly affected by that, I would think. And the people that buy goods, a lot of goods, things that other people may not be able to afford, spend more, or, you know, big TVs and
cars and boats.
Those things that we get taxed for.
My next boat, I'll be paying a lot more tax.
Okay, so
in my next yacht.
First half, you did mention, Chuck, the property taxes levied by school districts would be eliminated. Less taxes dedicated for existing debt. What is the existing debt?
That is correct. Now, what's interesting is Pennsylvania, unlike most states here in the country, is well known for so much local government. Pennsylvania has 500 school districts, and every single one of those school districts has a different amount of existing debt that they're carrying right now. Now, I can literally count on both hands how many school districts in Pennsylvania do not have any existing debt. It's very easy and it works well for school districts to carry existing debt for capital projects or what have you. What happens is, under Senate Bill 76, if it were to pass, existing debt would stay in place. The property taxes that are levied via existing debt would stay in place until the existing debt is paid off. Now, most times people ask, first things first, how much is the average that I'm paying towards existing debt? When you take a look average statewide, school districts in Pennsylvania are paying about 10% of their operating budgets towards costs associated with those existing debt payments. Now, I'm going to use just an example here. If your school district has if you yourself have a $1,000 school property tax bill year after year, if this bill were to pass, you'd probably see about a $900 property tax elimination immediately. However, you would still see that $100 still in place until the existing debt is paid off. Now, a lot of times people ask, how long is the existing debt in place for? It could be as short as 1 year, but it could be as long as 30 years. But eventually, that existing debt would have to be completely paid off. Now, let's just take, for example, a school district decides that they want to increase their existing debt. They can do that, but they cannot attach it to the property tax. So once this bill were to pass, there would be a deadline indicating that school districts could not add any more to that existing debt payload and then use property taxes to fund that. Hopefully, I didn't lose anybody there with that, but it can be a little complicating sometimes.
Well, what happens if a school district wants to do an upgrade and enhance their gym or add another...
Build another school.
There you go, another wing.
They can certainly do that. There's a few different things that they can do. First things first, they can obviously budget forward based on the amount of revenues that are coming back. We did not talk about exactly how the schools get their funding in terms of the PIT and the sales. What will happen is under Senate Bill 76, the increases in the PIT and in the sales tax go into this fund called the Education Stabilization Fund. Now,
and it's just going to be used for that. Nothing else. Not going to be commingled.
Correct, and that's what I want to get at right here. The interesting thing is, so many times Harrisburg will shift or they'll increase taxes, and they'll indicate that it's supposed to go towards something. Well, we all know that that's certainly not the case most times. Under this plan, the increases to the PIT and the sales tax go into this Education Stabilization Fund, and then we'll go right back to the schools. So the first year, in the very first year that this bill were to pass, school districts would see a dollar-for-dollar match what they would have received via the property taxes. So if they were going to receive $100 million, for example, via the property taxes, they would see that dollar-for-dollar match via the Education Stabilization Fund. Now, every following year, school districts would see an increase at the rate of inflation. I mentioned at the very beginning of the show House Bill 1776 and how the numbers did not add up. Well, when we did this second economic study of Senate Bill 76, this is how we know the numbers do add up. Under this plan, school districts would see increases year after year at the rate of inflation under 76, and that's part of the reason that we feel very comfortable advocating for it.
A question that I have, Dan Taylor here, a question that I would have regarding that would be, you know, in terms of the money to pay for this, it's coming from sales tax and obviously from wage tax. A lot of, you know, proponents against the bill claim that there's much more volatility in terms of revenue generated by the local governing bodies. So, I mean, can you address that in terms of, should the economy have a downturn and spending becomes less, how do you fill the void, especially based on an increase with inflation?
Certainly. And that's a very good point, because that's something that we were looking at ourselves. A lot of times you take a look at consumer spending, particularly during recessionary years, and there's certainly reasons to be concerned. Now, I mentioned that economic impact study. We did one, but additionally, the Pennsylvania Independent Fiscal Office. This is a budgetary office that's created by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a nonpartisan budgetary office that took a look at not only the overall revenues that are raised via this bill, but the overall impact of consumer spending, whether it's good years or bad years. So I'll use an example of some recent history. 2008 and 2009 obviously were not good years in Pennsylvania, nor were they good years across the country. People simply were not spending money. However, under this plan, even if this bill were in place in 2008 and in 2009, this plan would have been solvent, meaning school districts would have continued to have seen increases at the rate of inflation even during recessionary years. Now, what's interesting is during very good years, years where the economy is thriving overly, that rate of inflation marker will be even higher. So during those really good years, school districts would see even more revenues coming back in. Now, during years that are not as strong, that rate of inflation increase will be there, but it just won't be as high. So during those bad years, schools will still have to still receive those increases, but it won't be as much as it would be during those really strong years.
So overall, it's a balancing effect, and through the research and history, what you're saying is traditionally and historically, it's a plus It doesn't. It's not a deficit, you know, even in terms of bad economic times. At the end of the day, you know, 10-15 year time span, you're saying that overall it's going to be a revenue positive.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. Now, one of the things, I'll refer again to realreform76.com, our website. One of the things that a lot of detractors and opponents will say about this bill is that it is not revenue neutral. They'll indicate that there's a shortfall. That's simply not true. Our website highlights exactly why we know that's not true. But you have individuals that are opposed to the bill that will continue to cite misinformation, and that more or less their goal with doing that is to confuse the general public and get them to be a little scared or what have you. But we know via our economic analysis as well as the Independent Fiscal Office's economic analysis of the bill that, as you indicated, year after year, there would be those gains that are given to those school districts. Never once would they see anything less than that.
I want to make a point, Chuck, that, you know, currently Pennsylvania property owners pay $12 billion total to the Commonwealth annually in property taxes. And also, if anybody wants to read up, study, learn more about this tax reform, going to realreform76.com explains a lot. And also contact a senator, your senator, if you see that they are not in support of the bill, if you support it yourself. I know my senator is undecided, and it has a whole list of those that are supporting the bill currently. And locally, school taxes in Monroe County have been hit the hardest. And there's a lot of school districts. I know we pay a hefty school tax where we reside.
Yes, we do.
Do we not? So we're looking for tax reform. And we didn't cover nearly what I wanted to today, Chuck. There's a lot of information that we did cover today. But I'd love to have you back next week if you have the time to do so. Can you come back next week with us, please?
That would be fantastic. I'd appreciate that opportunity.
Wonderful. Chuck Leidike, campaign manager of Real Reform 76. Have a great day, Chuck. Thanks for being here with us, and we look forward to talking to you next week. Before
you
we
too.
Go,
thank you.
You're welcome. Before we go, Pat?
Yes, here is something that doesn't come up often. We have lakefront property on Moosic Lake. This lakefront lot is 75 feet wide and 156 feet deep. It has a seasonal lake house on it that can either be rehabilitated or it can be torn down. It is a two-bedroom with a loft that can be used as a third bedroom. So if you're interested in lakefront property on Moosic Lake, give us a call about our listing on Little Lake Road for only $179,000 and spend the summer at the lake. Or you could get it to your mother for Mother's Day, right?
Yes.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Our loyal listeners, your mom and my mom, who I know listen every weekend, right?
That's right. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to you, Jackie. Happy
Thank
Mother's
you.
Day to my mother.
Happy
Mother's Day to my mother-in-law, to Jessica, our producer.
Yes.
Producer.
And anyone listening out there, have a great Mother's Day. Before we close, I'd like to announce that my office, our office, is recipient of the Quality Service Award from Century 21. We are a pinnacle office. We strive for excellence at Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate, and as a result, our clients who completed the Century 21 surveys after their transaction was complete gave us a thumbs up. So we're thankful for that. In addition to that, our realtors that received Pinnacle Quality Service Awards also were Trish Conway, myself, and Jason Thomas, and John Pendrack. Jason Thomas received Master Emerald Award, and that's because he did 41 units. He was number 36 out of 2,453 Century 21 agents, and that's based on units sold. We're out of time. Thanks for tuning in to the Real Estate Roundtable with Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate. Remember to tune in next Saturday at 11 a.m. or Sunday at 11:30 a.m. on 94.3 FM, The Talker.
All Century 21 real estate offices are independently owned and operated.
Hi, this is Jackie Ruddy from Century 21 Jack Ruddy Real Estate. Is real estate on your mind? It's on ours 24/7. Whether you're buying, selling, investing, or in need of an appraisal, you have questions, we have answers.
Thinking of buying or selling a house and have questions? Tune in to the Real Estate Roundtable hosted by locally owned and operated Century 21 Jack Ready Real Estate on Saturday mornings at 11 and Sunday mornings at 11:30.